Welcome to Ad Bible, an audio daily devotion from the Ezra Project. We join Alan J. Huth as he shares Bible passages and comments from over 30 years of his personal Bible reading journals.
In the last few chapters of 2 Samuel, we've seen the rebellion of Absalom against King David. We've seen Absalom killed and the attempt to restore David's throne, both in Judah and in Israel. Chapter 20 continues this saga, so let's listen in as Faith Comes by Hearing shares 2 Samuel chapter 20.
2 Samuel 20. Now there happened to be there a worthless man, whose name was Sheba, the son of Bichri, a Benjaminite. And he blew the trumpet and said,
"We have no portion in David, and we have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to his tents, O Israel!"
So all the men of Israel withdrew from David and followed Sheba, the son of Bichri. But the men of Judah followed their king steadfastly from the Jordan to Jerusalem. And David came to his house at Jerusalem. And the king took the 10 concubines whom he had left to care for the house and put them in a house under guard and provided for them, but did not go into them. So they were shut up until the day of their death, living as if in widowhood. Then the king said to Amasa,
"Call the men of Judah together to me within 3 days, and be here yourself."
So Amasa went to summon Judah, but he delayed beyond the set time that had been appointed him. And David said to Abishai,
"Now Sheba, the son of Bichri, will do us more harm than Absalom. Take your lord's servants and pursue him, lest he get himself to fortified cities and escape from us."
And there went out after him Joab's men, and the Kerethites and the Pelethites, and all the mighty men. They went out from Jerusalem to pursue Sheba, the son of Bichri. When they were at the great stone that is in Gibeon, Amasa came to meet them. Now Joab was wearing a soldier's garment, and over it was a belt with a sword in its sheath, fastened on his thigh. And as he went forward, it fell out. And Joab said to Amasa,
"Is it well with you, my brother?"
And Joab took Amasa by the beard with his right hand to kiss him. But Amasa did not observe the sword that was in Joab's hand. So Joab struck him with it in the stomach and spilled his entrails to the ground without striking a second blow, and he died. Then Joab and Abishai, his brother, pursued Sheba, the son of Bichri. And one of Joab's young men took his stand by Amasa and said,
"Whoever favors Joab, and whoever is for David, let him follow Joab."
And Amasa lay wallowing in his blood in the highway, and anyone who came by seeing him stopped. And when the man saw that all the people stopped, he carried Amasa out of the highway into the field and threw a garment over him. When he was taken out of the highway, all the people went on after Joab to pursue Sheba the son of Bichri. And Sheba passed through all the tribes of Israel to Abel of Bethmaachah, and all the Bichrites assembled and followed him in. And all the men who were with Joab came and besieged him in Abel of Bethmaachah. They cast up a mound against the city, and it stood against the rampart, and they were battering the wall to throw it down. Then a wise woman called from the city,
"Listen! Listen! Tell Joab, come here that I may speak to you."
And he came near her, and the woman said,
"Are you Joab?"
He answered,
"I am."
Then she said to him,
"Listen to the words of your servant."
And he answered,
"I am listening."
Then she said,
"They used to say in former times, let them but ask counsel at Abel. And so they settled a matter. I am one of those who are peaceable and faithful in Israel. You seek to destroy a city that is a mother in Israel. Why will you swallow up the heritage of the Lord?"
Joab answered,
"Far be it from me, far be it that I should swallow up or destroy. That is not true. But a man of the hill country of Ephraim, called Sheba the son of Bichri, has lifted up his hand against King David. Give up him alone, and I will withdraw from the city."
And the woman said to Joab,
"Behold, his head shall be thrown to you over the wall."
Then the woman went to all the people in her wisdom, and they cut off the head of Sheba the son of Bichri and threw it out to Joab. So he blew the trumpet, and they dispersed from the city, every man to his home. And Joab returned to Jerusalem to the king. Now Joab was in command of all the army of Israel, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada was in command of the Kerethites and the Pelethites, and Adoram was in charge of the forced labor, and Jehoshaphat the son of Ahilud was the recorder, and Sheva was secretary, and Zadok and Abiathar were priests, and Ira the Jairite was also David's priest.
He's back. Joab, remember him? He was replaced as commander of David's army by Amasa, who was previously over Absalom's army. Joab was probably jealous. He never trusted Amasa. He thought he was an enemy. When he delayed in rallying Judah to fight for David, Joab once again takes matters into his own hands, and he murders Amasa. He puts down another revolt by getting rid of Sheba, and he's back in charge of David's army. This is murder number 3 for Joab. You might remember back in the early chapters of 2 Samuel, Abner was Saul's army chief, and Joab murdered him. Next, he murders Absalom, and now he wipes out Amasa. In verse 23 of this chapter, it says, "Now Joab was in command of all the army of Israel." So again, what does this tell us about David? So far, this guy has murdered 3 people, and David doesn't appear to hold him accountable for any of it. Maybe David was afraid of Joab, or maybe he liked him on his side rather than the enemy's side. We could understand that. But he does not really ever forgive Joab for all this. You have to flip forward to 1 Kings, and let's read what's going to happen later on. When David is turning the kingdom over to his son Solomon, in chapter 2 of 1 Kings, verse 5, he says this to Solomon, "Moreover, you also know what Joab, the son of Zeruiah, did to me, how he dealt with the 2 commanders of the armies of Israel, Abner the son of Ner, and Amasa the son of Jether, whom he killed, avenging in time of peace for blood that had been shed in war, and putting the blood of war on the belt around his waist and on the sandals of his feet. Act, therefore, according to your wisdom, but do not let his gray head go down to Sheol in peace." In other words, David passes the buck. Joab is the commander of David's army until David gives up the kingdom to his son. So he asked Solomon to do something he was unwilling to do himself, and that's hold Joab accountable. What can we learn from these examples, these stories here in 2 Samuel about leadership? Well, the question may be, is David really in charge, or is Joab in charge? Who's really running the show here? And if you're in leadership, sometimes maybe you've faced a strong leader under you that's really got the loyalty and is running the show, and maybe running circles around your own leadership. In a way, that's what appears to be happening to David here. It appears that Joab may have been fiercely loyal to David. But is that really what you want in your leadership circle? Is someone with blood on his hands, like the murderer Joab? Father, for those of us in leadership, help us be willing to evaluate our inner circle, the leaders around us, and to be able to hold those people accountable to our standards, not their own. And also help us, Lord, to be willing to make the tough decisions to remove leaders who are not following our philosophy, our beliefs, our core values. Lord, through your word, strengthen us so that when we have tough decisions to make, we can make them according to your will and your word. Give us strength in Jesus' name. Amen.